Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, thank you for your wisdom going forth today to encourage people to manifest their salvation. Thank you so much, Lord, for what you're saying to us and teaching us, and we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to continue with Endure to Manifest Salvation, number 6. And I'm going to somewhat pick up where I left off in our last teaching, and that was about how faith transforms us. I mentioned just briefly about the rewards, and that there are differences of rewards concerning sonship. Many have been taught that everybody gets the same reward, but that's contrary to the scriptures, as we will see today too. There's a difference of reward because every servant will not become a son. They may have been called, but they may not be chosen. That happens, okay? Many are called, but few are chosen. So let's start in Ezekiel 46 and 16. Thus saith the Lord God, if the prince, now the prince was the high priest in the Old Testament, representing our high priest today. Hebrews 4 and 14 says, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Well, Jesus Christ is our high priest. So he's got gifts he's going to give here, okay? Ezekiel 46 and 16 says, thus saith the Lord God, if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, it is his inheritance. That is the son's inheritance. It shall belong to his sons. It is their possession by inheritance. But if he gives of his inheritance a gift to one of his servants, it shall be his to the year of liberty. Well, the year of liberty is the marriage feast. The year of liberty to the Jews was when the land went back to the original owner and when the servants were set free. Okay. And as it says in Leviticus 27 and 21, but the field, when it goeth out in the Jubilee, shall be holy unto the Lord as a field devoted. The possession thereof shall be the priests. And 25 and 54. And if he be not redeemed by these means, then he shall go out in the year of Jubilee, the servant that is, he and his children with him. So the Jubilee is freedom for the servants. So those who were in bondage were set free. And we have coming a debt jubilee in the Sara Jasara. Amazingly, who would have thunk the world would do such a thing? Okay, but all of this earth is going back to its original owner. And those servants who are manifesting sonship are going to be set free and be joint heirs with Jesus. Ezekiel 46 and 17, but if he give of his inheritance a gift to one of his servants, it shall be his to the year of liberty. That's when things were set free, right? So if God gives this gift to an unprofitable servant, he's going to keep it only until the year of liberty. Now, if a servant is profitable, he's going to be transforming into a son. Okay? He's going to be bearing fruit. He's not going to stay a servant, which is a child, by the way. then it shall return to the prince. So if the unprofitable servant has to give up what he has, it returns to the prince. But as for his inheritance, it shall be for his sons. So he'll take it away from the servants and give it to the sons. Does that sound familiar? Well, he's going to take the talent away from the unprofitable servant who has the one talent, and he's going to give it to his sons. His sons get the inheritance of all those other servants because the other servants didn't walk in faith and they didn't manifest Christ. The sons get the whole inheritance. So we see this in Ezekiel 46 and 18, where it says, "Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance to thrust them out of their possession. He shall give inheritance to his sons out of his own possession." So that's a joint heir with Christ, right? So we receive the same inheritance he receives. So God does what he says he's going to do. And a person who doesn't manifest fruit from the gift given to them by the Lord will have their gift taken away and given to those who have chosen sonship and are bearing fruit. There's a difference of reward for what we have loosely called Christians. And first of all, there was the servant with the two talents and the servant with the five talents, and that's a difference right there. But both of those people brought forth everything that they could bring forth because that's what God put in, and that made them faithful. Okay, they brought forth the fruit of what was given to them. There's a lot of Christians that are doing nothing with that gift. You know, they're burying it in the earth. So God has given you knowledge and understanding, and he's going to hold you responsible to do something with it, right? Luke 12 and 48 says, "And to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him will they ask the more." So God expects you to do something with what he gives you. It's not a heavy burden that he puts upon you. Mark 11 and 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Good news. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So there you have it. He said, "My burden is light," because knowledge is the way to fruit. If you don't know what his promises are, then you can't set your faith on them, and you certainly can't have them. So there are people who are seeking knowledge of the Lord. They love the Lord. They want to hear from him. They're not avoiding the Bible. It's not gathering dust, right? So it says in 2 Peter 1 and 3, "Seeing," but you can underline that, "seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life," and that's God's life, "and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by his glory and virtue." So the righteous are seeking knowledge, because it's the foundation of answered prayer. Verse 4, "Whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature." Do you want the divine nature? That is what sonship is. And, of course, those promises will be valuable unto you. To others, oh, no, the world is more valuable, and they get their excitement in the world, right? "Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world by lust." So this is what this divine nature does. It's an escape from the corruption of the world. So we see here the profitable servants become sons, having been set free by the divine nature, which they sought after, right? See, you have to know what to reach out for. Some people are going to use the excuse, well, the preachers didn't teach me this or that, or the preachers lied to me, or this or that. But nope, won't be any excuse. You have your Bible. But Jesus said in John 7 and 17, if any man willeth to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. In other words, if you do the will of the Father, you're going to know the teaching. No one can stop you from getting the truth if you really want to know God, because he will make sure that it gets through to you. So those who stay in apostate religion don't really seek for truth and risk being cast out and losing their inheritance. So that's kind of a filter there for those who really want God and those that, well, so what, you know. Proverbs 2 and 16 says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Well, this is the harlot, Babylon, and it's much bigger than the particular church you're thinking about. It's much bigger than that. Even from the foreigner that flattereth with her words, that forsaketh the friend of her youth. You see there? Jesus Christ. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. And then he goes on to warn these people in 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Oh, I'm so sad. Sorry you don't believe in perfection, but then maybe you'll not be qualified. So the perfect shall remain in the land. The upright only get to dwell there for a while, but the perfect will continue on to sonship, and they will own it. Verse 22, but the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. And that's what we've been seeing for quite a while, is the rooting out of people who don't love God. They only love themselves. So remember the wedding guest who didn't have the wedding garment on. He came to the marriage feast, but then he didn't get to stay. It's important to understand this because it really motivates a person. Yeah, and you're putting on the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wedding garment. The Lord says in Isaiah 65 and 8, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, as one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. So he's talking about the apostate people of God. He's saying that there is a remnant of something good in their midst, and that's why he's not going to destroy them all. That's what he's saying. Isaiah 65 and 9 says, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and my chosen shall inherit it. It's their inheritance. The servants didn't do that. And my servants shall dwell there. Notice, they don't own it. They just dwell there for a season. Notice the servant doesn't inherit the land, but just dwells there for a while. And verse 10, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor, which talks about troubling or tribulation. The root word for Achor means to afflict or trouble, right? And the valley of Achor, a place for herds to lie down in for my people that have sought me. So notice, you're going to go through tribulation, as the Bible says, right? But you that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, speaking of his kingdom, that prepare a table for fortune, These people are lusting after, of course, and paying attention to the things of the world and the prosperity that they can have. Yeah. And that fill up mingled wine unto destiny. I will destine you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer, and when I spake, you did not hear. But you did that which was evil in mine eyes, and chose that wherein I delighted not. A brother who is a friend of mine asked, Lord, what is going to happen to the carnal Christian? And these were the scriptures that God gave him. So another warning follows just a few verses later in Isaiah 65 and 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. So, after God has created a new heaven and a new earth, verse 20 says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Oh, so we saw previously that a child and a servant are the same. So you see, there is no eternal there, right? They didn't seek the eternal and they didn't get the eternal. Proverbs 29 and 21 says, he that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child, so the servant is a child, shall have him become a son at the last. So here we saw that the bondservant of sin and the child are the same. The servant is someone who hasn't entered into sonship, either through faith or through manifestation. And Isaiah says the sinner being 100 years old, well, 100 is a tenth of the millennium, that many people think that is, the tenth of the millennium, and a tenth of a thousand, in other words. And a lot of people under the law are just doing business with God. They haven't become sons. They say, I give God my 10%, like the Israelites did in the Old Testament, right? But Jesus said, we must renounce ownership of 100% to be a disciple. We are no longer owners in the New Testament. We're going to own it all, but we're not owners of what God puts in our hands. We're being tested as stewards, right? But Paul said in Galatians 5 and 4, you are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law. You are fallen away from grace. Wish that God people would understand this and not let the Judaizers drag them back under the law, which is under a curse. We are free from the law. We are free to follow the Spirit. And if we follow the Spirit, we will surpass anything that the law says. Again, remember that the guest without the wedding garment was in the wedding feast, and he did get to stay for a little while. But then he was cast out. I believe that's what this is talking about. Isaiah 65 and 17 says, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem, which is the bride, according to what John was told in Revelation. I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. So I believe that God's people are coming to this particular point right here, right now, as a matter of fact. So there shall no more thence be an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So we know that childs are servants. these bondservants of sin who chose to remain children instead of believing and entering into sonship will not be able to enter into the New Jerusalem bride, as it says in Revelation 21 and 27. And there shall no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And 22 and 15. Without are the dogs, the sorcerers, and the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone that loveth and maketh a lie. So these people will be cast forth from the city. They cannot come into the city. So there's, and the city is the bride. So there's a big difference of reward between those who do serve God and those who profess God but don't serve God. And everyone who has not believed on the only begotten Son of God is already judged, but the judgment is going to be in the separating. So we see this in Matthew 13 and 24. Another parable set he before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares." Well, a tare has small, useless fruit. You know, it looks when it starts out to be promising, but it don't end up being promising. He came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the householder came and said unto him, "Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then hath it tares?" And he said unto them, "An enemy hath done this." Tares among the wheat? Yes, the enemy did that. And we've been getting cleaned out of these tares. And the servants say unto him, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" But he saith, "Nay, lest haply while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." Oh, we are now coming to the harvest. "And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers," which end up being the angels, "gather up first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them." That's exactly what happened, including the burning. "But gather the wheat into my barn. We are witnesses. This has happened." So we're entering into the kingdom right now, and the separating the sheep from the goats is happening. We know that we are sons of God through faith, but the Bible also teaches in 1 John 3 and 2, "Beloved, now are we children of God." The Greek word there is technon, or child, not huios, which is the word for son. So they thought it sounded pretty, so they just interchanged children and son. But that was a work of the devil. "And it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested," meaning in us, "we shall be like him." Isn't that clear? "For we shall see him even as he is." That's in the mirror. If you see the Jesus in the mirror, you're going to come into the same glory, he said. "And everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself." See, so these people have an interest in purifying themselves. "Even as he is pure." Wow, that's a promise, isn't it? The Lord commanded us that. Matthew 5 and 48, "Ye therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." You know, it would have been ludicrous for him to make a command like that if he hadn't given us the power to bring it to pass. Some people think God's stupid, you know? So now, see what Jesus said in John 19 and 30. "When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head. and gave up the spirit. And in 16 and 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So be of good cheer. It's finished. I've overcome the world, he said. We're privileged to enter in by faith to what Jesus has already done. Hebrews 4 and 3 says, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. You see, when you believe you have received what God says, you can rest because he's going to do the work. Even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Yeah, our works were already finished. We're just entering into them that Jesus accomplished. The only thing that remains is for us to put our trust in God and enter into those works by faith. John 6 and 28 says, they said therefore unto him, what must we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. You must believe on the real Jesus. We must do the works of God, which is made possible when we believe on him whom he has sent. That's the gospel. We just have to believe that what Jesus accomplished on the cross is ours. It's our gift, and it covers it all. What Jesus bought and paid for is that we would be sons of God, not just sons by faith, but sons by manifestation. And we who are sons of God by faith are on that road to manifestation. We are manifesting this gift. 1 Peter 1 and 15 says, but like as he who called you is holy, be yourselves also holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Did you receive his seed? If you did, you can be holy. Seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. You have to find out what the truth is. Don't get stuck in a dead church. You'll never find out. Get your Bible out. You have purified your souls. That's sonship. In your obedience to the truth, unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. There's a lot of feigned love out there. Love one another from the heart fervently, having been born again or begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which liveth and abideth, and which he sowed in your heart, as the parable of the sower says. So you are progressively being saved in your soul through your obedience to the truth. Now, they've been told, oh, you don't have to obey. You know, you've got a blood covering. So you can read this message of progressive salvation over and over in the scriptures, but as the Bible also says, you have to be able to see your goal before you can reach it. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, there's your goal, are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Didn't have to do anything, just had to see it by faith. So we see the goal by faith. If you can see in the scriptures what it is that God has provided for you, then you can reach out your faith to it, and you will manifest the sonship that Jesus paid for. Jesus is the progenitor of the new creation man. Many people want to stay in the old creation, the Adamic fallen creation. He's the father of the sons of God. This is not to be confused with the erroneous and dangerous manifestation of the sons of God or Joel's army movements, which arose from the latter rain movement of the late 1940s and are still being promoted today by apostate leaders. There is a real truth that they have perverted. So throughout the scriptures, we see a parallel with the adoption traditions of the Hebrews, Greeks, and the Romans. As it says in Proverbs 29 and 21, "He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last." Okay, so they all had a tradition of adopting their servants and making them sons. Some people aren't cooperating with God in this because they don't think it's even possible. But this is God's power, not ours. A fictional example of the story of this adoption of servants to sons is Ben-Hur by Lew Wallace. Briefly, Ben-Hur is sentenced to be a galley slave, but after he saves the life of the warship's commander, Arius, he adopts Ben-Hur and makes him a free citizen and a son. So Ben-Hur becomes the heir of Arius, who is a leader in the Roman government, and through his inheritance, Ben-Hur gains the power and authority that he needs. Can you see that this is what God is doing with us? God used the traditions of those cultures, or else he created the traditions of those cultures, so that we would understand what he was saying when he said he adopted servants and made them sons. Paul says this in Romans 8 and 16. "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Okay? "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be," underline that, "that we suffer with him." You have to suffer the loss of your old life to gain your life, Jesus said, "that we may also be glorified with him." So we can see where we are, but we also have to see where we're going. Psalm 119 and 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So it shows you where you stand, but it shows you where to go. You don't get that in church. You stagnate in most churches. Stagnate. Without the word to show you where you are going, you have nothing to exercise faith in. God is showing us in the scriptures that we're going towards sonship, which is why the Bible commands us to see Jesus in the mirror. Most of the church says, no, that's not possible, but that's what the Bible commands us to do, whether they like it or believe it or not. It's the good news. It's the gospel that we are to accept from the first moment of our salvation. And that they don't tell them that. So from the very beginning, by faith, we receive everything that God has provided for us by faith. Some of them say, "You've received it by manifestation. Now sit down on a pew and wait for the rapture." Blah, 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 you know. Even before we see it manifested, we know it's ours. That's why we say we are saved. People don't realize what they are saying when they say, "I'm saved." They don't understand that the Greek word soteria, which is the word translated as saved, incorporates total deliverance from the curse of sin and death. That's what you have. Total deliverance. So you're saved by faith, the Bible says, right? So when people say, "I'm saved," they're saying a word by faith. It's a deception to believe that you are saved by manifestation, because then you have no reason to walk it out. But we're told in Philippians 2 and 12, "So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Oh my, they just want to take all that away. No, you sit on that pew right there. You got everything you're going to get. You wait right there. The rapture's coming. So, We are progressively saved by working out our salvation. We were baptized, and then, as we let the water of the Word put to death the old man, that baptism is increasingly manifested in our life as we walk on with God. Baptism is an act of faith. God has given us the goal of sonship through faith in Jesus Christ. We accept it as a free gift. And as we keep on confessing sonship in the face of trials and troubles and tribulations, we will see the manifestation of sonship coming in us. It will be just as automatic as planting a natural seed in the ground. That seed comes up. It produces a plant. And the plant bears fruit according to the type of the plant that it is. So God's seeds are just like that too. They don't work and struggle and strain, you know, and you don't have to go dig them up and see if they're all right. No, you know. No, you plant them in good soil. Hearts, good hearts. And they're going to come up and they're going to bear the fruit of God. Now it says in Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What is it that keeps us from being led by the Spirit? Staying a child is to remain a servant. Now, you don't think it's unusual for a child to stumble around a little bit as they're growing up. They pretty soon learn and they get up and they walk and they're, you know, they're able to be sons. So, but staying a child is to remain a servant, and that will keep you from being led by the Spirit. Galatians 4 and 1 says, but I say, so long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a bondservant. See, a child is a bondservant. Though he is Lord of all. In other words, that gift has been given to him. But is under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the Father. Pray that they're good ones. The manifestation of sonship is coming in the lives of those people who will give up being children or servants to go on to do something with the gift that God has given them. Children or servants are in bondage, as it says in Galatians 4 and 3. So we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world. That's the principles of the world. What is it that causes us to stay in bondage to the principles of the world and not bear fruit? Walking by the carnal senses will keep us in bondage to the flesh, to the devil, and to the world. Our biggest problem is walking by sight, by hearing, and by feeling. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I've put away childish things. So a son of God must give up walking by what is seen in the natural and start walking by the eyes of the Spirit. And it says in Hebrews 5:11, of whom we have many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing you are become dull of hearing. For when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments or principles of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. There's your problem right there. You can sit in a dead church and you'll be just as dead or worse years down the road. Notice that we're looking at two different sets of rudiments. We have the rudiments of the first principles of the world and the rudiments of the first principles of God. But you can't stay in either one. If you're going to mature to bear fruit, babes are in these rudiments. They like to stay there. They go to church every day to get fed. They won't go feed themselves like grown-ups do. by getting their Bible down and finding out if these things are so. And in most cases, they are not. Hebrews 5 and 13, for every one that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, or perfect men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Babes are not experienced in the word of righteousness because they don't have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. How do you do that? Well, you need to see the way the Bible tells you to see and believe what it says. Babes in the Lord walk according to the first principles of the Lord, and they speak what comes to their mind through their natural senses. They can't experience the word of righteousness because they walk after their carnal mind. Their knowledge is not a knowledge of what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 13 and 9, he that hath ears, let him hear. And 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The people he was talking to all had physical eyes and ears, but Jesus was saying that the people who received his word would be those who had spiritual eyes and ears. Your carnal mind is influenced by your natural senses, and it assimilates the influences of your natural senses. That's why people who walk after their natural senses can't walk by faith. They can't see the wonderful works of God. And they won't speak faith, calling the things that be not as though they were. And they will never see the manifestation of Jesus if they don't walk by faith, because it's just not possible. Often people will have faith in one area and yet not in others, but as they fellowship with other people, they learn where other people are exercising their faith and they grow. So all of God's promises are manifested through faith, and that means faith must be in every area of our lives. We read in 1 John 5 and 4, for whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. So faith is the victory that overcomes the world. However, even babes can be justified by receiving sonship through faith. This means that they are accounted righteous through faith, believing that they have received, as Jesus said, about everything you pray for, Mark 11 and 24. Everything you pray for, believe you have received it. Did you pray for sonship? Okay, do you have sonship? Yes, you do. You have it by faith. Claim it. And then continue to search out the knowledge that brings you into that sonship. So babes who walk by their natural senses many times do warfare that's carnal. But in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So this warfare must be accomplished, but it can't be accomplished with your carnal senses. You are fighting an enemy that's unseen, and you have to fight him with the unseen. We have to call the things that are not as though they were. Romans 4 and 17. Even God, who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. We're in practice to manifest sonship. If God has a son, which he did, Jesus Christ, he demonstrated how to walk in the Spirit. We are supposed to walk there too. Did you know that the things that are not made out of things that appear? We read this in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hope for, things is not in the original, a conviction of the not seen, because things wasn't there either. For therein the elders had witness borne unto them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. And when you're walking according to your natural mind, that's the only way you can build things, is by things that appear. But if you walk by faith, you will find that God will build them for you. The things that are seen are made out of faith. Sonship is made out of faith. So you can't war in the flesh. You can't war with the natural senses. We're taught in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. In other words, they're not natural, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or reasonings, and every high thing that's exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what we're here for. Where do reasonings come from? Reasonings or imaginations come from what your carnal mind has assimilated through your natural senses or dead religion that you're stuck in. But we're told in Romans 12 and 2, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're commanded to repent, right? And again, repent is the Greek word metanoeo, and it means change your mind. We must change our mind. We must not receive into our mind what is put there by the carnal senses or the carnal religion. We have to receive what is put there by the spiritual senses, by the hearing of God's word, and by seeing the seeing of God. He told us how to see. You have to change your mind to have any hope of Christ manifesting Christ in you. I don't say this to make anyone fear, because sons of God are, first of all, sons of God through faith. You have to receive sonship through faith before you have it by manifestation. And faith is accounted as righteousness until you arrive at the manifestation. Romans 4 and 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Oh, thank you, Lord. There are people who preach the manifestation of sonship, but they leave out the grace of God. See, until righteousness is manifested in you, faith stands in its place. By faith, we are sons of God now. And we're studying to know what a son of God looks like, so that when we look in the mirror, we can see we can be transformed into the same image. So be careful that the Jesus in your mirror is the Jesus of the Bible. That's what we're here to come into. Paul warned us about those who received another gospel, another spirit, and another Jesus, and that's quite common. Galatians 1 and 6 says, I marvel that you are so quickly removing from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel, only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema, let him be accursed, right? And as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preacheth unto you any gospel other than that which you received, let him be anathema. How are you going to know what you received if you don't read your Bible? Our Jesus has to look just like this Jesus. If not, you'll be transformed into a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. And that's not the sonship of the Bible either. I see it happen all the time. The fault here is people are somewhere in between assimilating through their natural senses and assimilating through their spiritual senses. And we have to learn to see the way God teaches us to see. And Jesus came to be our example of that. Now, I'm sure a lot of people will say, well, yeah, that was just Jesus. No, the Bible called Jesus a sign. He was a sign, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which we know as God with us, right? And Luke 11:30, for even as Jonah became a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. He's a sign. We're coming into that image, not the modern preacher's image, that image. Jesus came to be our example, our pattern in everything that he did. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's who we are to imitate. Don't imitate the modern preachers. You'll end up a mess. When Jesus was baptized, it was to fulfill all righteousness. Matthew 3:13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and camest thou to me? But Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, here is what you need to do for the sake of righteousness. He taught his disciples to do what he did. 1 John 2:6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. You see, he's our example. What he demonstrated, we're supposed to do. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. Oh no, David, that all passed away with the apostles. Oh no, it didn't. So obviously it must be possible for us to do that. And what we have learned from Jesus is the way he wants us to walk. John 5:19, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Well, this is our Sabbath rest of God. We can't do things of ourselves. We have to cease from our own works on God's day of rest, which is every day in the New Testament. Because the Sabbatismos is an eternal Sabbath. It is not one day of the week, it's every day of every week. There is a Sabbath, it says in Hebrews 4:9, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And the Sabbatismos that he talks about in this text is a continual rest, a continual ceasing from your own works. That's given to the people of God. That wasn't given to them under the law. For he that is entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. So the Sabbath rest for the people of God is to cease from your works. It's not a day. It's every day. Hebrews 4:3, for we who have believed do enter in to that rest. There it is. When you believe, you can cease from your struggling, your striving to succeed, to do everything. You're believing God has given you this gift. And it's not by your works, it's by his grace. So if you believe the word of God, it's going to cause you to cease from your own struggling, cease from your own works, cease from trying to be a son of God even. And instead to accept sonship as your gift. The word of God is designed so that we believe it. If we really do believe it, we have to stop trying to deliver ourselves. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes you were healed. And if you were healed, then you are healed. Do you understand? It just causes you to cease from your works. And if you believe that, then you have to stop trying to heal yourself. If you believe that, then you are healed. It's not by your works that this comes. It's by God's works. And we enter into those by faith. So all the rest of the Bible is designed the same way. It's designed in the past tense. We have been made free from sin. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Were you made free? You need to believe it. You don't have to believe that you're in bondage to sin. The devil's deceiving you. See, you should never be anxious about your sin because the Bible says you've been made free from sin. Colossians 1:13. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So you have been made free from the powers of darkness. Hebrews 6 says twice that you were made free from sin. So why is it always past tense? It's past tense so that when you believe it, you can enter into the rest because it's already done. You automatically have to cease from all of your self-works. It's a privilege to do that. It's not a law. That's different. The law is something you do by your own efforts. Okay? But this is our opportunity to keep a New Testament Sabbath unto the Lord by ceasing from our own works. Jesus kept a New Testament Sabbath. John 5:19, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. That seems strange, doesn't it? He said, the Son. And do you know why he said it that way? It was because he wasn't talking about just himself. He's talking about the Son. John 5:19, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing. Okay, that means all sons. For what things soever he doeth, these the Son also doeth in like manner. They walk as he walked. So do you think he saw a vision of everything he was about to do? I don't think so. But he did have a vision of what the Father was doing. One of the places he got it from was in Isaiah's prophecy about the anointing. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. What's the Lord planting? His word in our hearts, the parable of the sower. Jesus had a vision. He knew, he saw what the Father's attitude was towards those who accepted his word. He knew his responsibility and he knew this ability. And what we have to do is to get a vision of where does my responsibility start and where does my ability start? You know, it's big. It's really big. Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Wow. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now they say this all passed away with the apostles. How ridiculous. How, since so many people are experiencing this today, they think they're all liars. For that's what Jesus said, and he meant it. We are the ones who are loosing what's coming into our lives. We sow a seed that brings forth a harvest in our lives. Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You are reaping what you have sown. For he that soweth unto his own flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. So, we're creating our tomorrow right now. The Bible says, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loose in heaven. And did you know that we can bind the devil and we can bind God? That's because God will not change his word. Matthew 24 and 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word is eternal. If you want to be eternal, you must put the word in you. He will not go beyond the boundaries that he has set. A good example is that what Jesus experienced in his own hometown in Matthew 13 and 54. And coming into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, inasmuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Oh. So Jesus himself couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. They had bound God. By our faith, we loose God. And we bind the devil. And by our unbelief, we loose the devil and we bind God. Jesus did those things that he saw of his Father. And he said in John 14 and 9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Not because they were one and the same, as some religions say, but because he was the express image of the Father, as it says in Hebrews 1 and 3, who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made purification of sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So what Jesus believed, the Father believed, and what Jesus said, the Father said. And you know it says in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God, if any man minister, minister as of the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, we speak as an oracle of God. We say what God says. If you can't say what God says, you've got no business in any pulpit. Colossians 3 and 17, and whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That means everything that we do to represent him. We can't do anything to represent ourselves, as we just saw. in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's ceasing from your works. That's accepting a death to self. So that Galatians 2 and 20, where it says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ living in me, and that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. He is the exchange. He exchanged his life for ours. We look in the mirror now and we see him. So this is what we must accept. It's a radical death to self walk. I've heard some groups preach, you must die to self. You must crucify yourself. But you have been crucified with Christ. We are privileged to have been crucified with Christ. Romans 6 and 11 says, even so, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin. Consider it done. It's not thou shalt do this and thou shalt do that. That's the law. We got this as a gift. And he says, reckon it done. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. You got a gift. If you don't reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, then you will never become dead unto sin. And if you don't believe that he bore all your sins, past, present, and future, at the cross, then they'll never go away. Jesus said that he only did those things that he saw of his Father. And we have to learn to do the things that we see of our Father. Because he put these things into the Bible for an example to us. If you see in the world that that's not a good enough reason to copy it, right? Whatever you see in the world, that's what people are prone and raised up to do. But if you see it in religion, that's certainly not a good enough reason to copy it. Look how many different religions there are out there that all claim Christianity. Who's right? Well, none of them. In Jesus' day, none of them were right. They had to come out from among them. They were called the church, the called out ones. They came out of all the denominations of that day. But he will honor his word if we do the things we see of our Father. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father doing. For what things soever he doeth, these the Son doeth in like manner. So we look at the things Jesus did, and we know that's what the Father did. And that's what we're to do. Verse 20, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. Yeah, we watched Jesus. We saw exactly what the Father was doing. He said it was the Father in him that did the works. And you know the same is still true for us. And greater works than these will he show him that he may marvel. So he also said in John 14 and 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. There you go. Here's what a believer is. Don't believe anything else. This is what a believer is. The works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. I've seen some greater works. It was, of course, not me, but God doing things through me. Okay, that's the secret, right? How can two walk together except they be agreed? If you don't come into agreement with God, how is he going to have free movement in you? So we know that Jesus is still talking to us. John 5 and 21, for as the Father raiseth the dead and giveth them life, even so the Son also giveth life to whom he will. For neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son. By the way, Jesus turned and he delegated that authority and that power to us. As the Father sent me, so send I you. So you see, the Son here is more than just the first Son. We're all in the first Son. By the way, it says in John 20 and 23, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Some would say, David, do you mean God gave that authority to men? Yes. The Pharisees rebuked Jesus because he had that authority, and Jesus passed it on to his disciples, the sons of men. John 5 and 22, for neither doth the Father judge any man, but he hath given all judgment unto the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father that sent him. Okay? Were you sent? Well, then don't go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth him that sent me, hath eternal life, and cometh not into judgment, but hath passed out of death and into life. So we pass out of death and into life by hearing the word. We have to hear the word in the midst of the circumstances and situations that come against us. We have to hear the word, because if you hear the word, you won't hear the flesh, and you won't hear the devil. So when you hear the word, you experience a spiritual resurrection from the dead, and you pass out of death and into life, as it says in Ephesians 2 and 1. And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins. And Colossians 2 and 13. And you being dead through your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. We were dead, and all around us are people who are dead. John 5 and 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Well, notice, and now is. He was saying it was happening right there. Jesus is not just talking about a physical resurrection of the dead, but a spiritual one. He talked about passing out of death and into life, because you hear the word. When we hear the voice of the Son of God, we come up out of our graves. We come into resurrection life. The word is the seed that's being sown by him, and that same seed brings forth the fruit. The seed has all the power it needs to bring forth the fruit. All it needs is good earth for God to sow his seed in. And that's about all the natural man is good for. He's the dirt, right? So don't think the natural man has any ability to be anything but the dirt. It's the plant coming up out of the dirt that's that new creation. And it's the fruit of that man, that spiritual man, that's going to have eternal life. Next, Jesus goes on to talk about the physical resurrection of the dead. He says in John 5 and 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is a son of man. Oh, people think just the opposite. They think it's because he's the Son of God. Well, notice that Jesus had to be a son of man in order to have the authority to execute judgment. Adam was given authority over the creation, and he lost it because of sin. But Jesus was tempted, and he did not sin, so he gained it back. And now the last Adam has it. That's Jesus Christ. The Father gave this authority to the Son because the Son came down here in the likeness of sinful flesh and overcame, conquered, and condemned sin in the flesh. We read this in Romans 8 and 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. You know, they're all tickled by the things of the world and so happy and running around enjoying the flesh, you know. But we came here to be crucified. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. If you are after the Spirit, you're going to be seeking the things of the Spirit. God had the authority to judge because he overcame his flesh. Romans 4 and 15. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What does that mean? It means he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. But one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Tempted? James said, when a man's tempted, he's drawn away by his lust and enticed. Jesus was tempted. Now, the spiritual man, Jesus, is the Son of God. The carnal man of Jesus came through the seed of the woman. The Bible tells you so. The seed of David through Mary. The Bible tells you so. So don't get these two mixed up. You know, he had to be made in all things like unto his brethren, the Bible says. All things like unto his brethren? Yes. We are the Son of God and the Son of man. Jesus was the Son of God and the Son of man. Jesus didn't sin. He didn't give in to that lower nature at all. Do you know why the old man can't judge? It's because the old man is the one who's done all the sinning in the first place. He's guilty. Romans 2 and 1. Wherefore, thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. If you judge others, you judge yourself. Our old man has no authority to judge, but the spiritual man in us has every authority to judge. You better make sure it comes from him. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, it says, now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. So the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. It comes through your spirit man, right? Amen. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and he himself is judged of no man. The spiritual man judges all things, and he's judged of no man, because he has the mind of God. And when the natural man is subject to the spiritual man, there's no sin or its curse. The natural man, we're not talking about the flesh now. We're talking about the natural man. We're not talking about the flesh in the natural man. But the natural man, when it's subject to the Lord, there's no sin involved. It's like the Lord riding the white horse. That beast has been tamed. It's a white horse. So back to John 5 and 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. So do you know who's going to be resurrected to life? Only those who have been resurrected spiritually in this life are going to have the resurrection of life. You have to wonder about all those people who say that the whole church is going to be raptured out of here. Wait a minute. Look at what it says. Ezekiel 18:4, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." You're saying a rapture is not dying, of course. But the soul that sins must die. You've got to get rid of sin. Now, you can confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Or you can continue on in your sins and justify them, and you'll die for sure. The soul that sins, it shall die. That's the word, and the word cannot ever be broken. John 7:23. And as we have seen, those who attain to life will have star, moon, and sun glory bodies. Therefore, if anybody is going to fly away without dying, it's going to be those who have overcome, because the soul that sins must die. You want to know why there's no pre-tribulation rapture? Because the church is a mess. How can he take them without dying? The soul that sins must die. What's the tribulation for? Well, to put you to death spiritually or to put you to death physically. Take your choice. So what they're talking about is not scripturally possible. We're here to go through trials, troubles, and tribulations in order to receive resurrection life, which is his life. We must lose our life to gain our life, as Jesus said. We're constantly faced with making decisions. Am I going to accept the word, or am I going to do the things my way? Am I going to live, right? If we choose our way, if we choose to do things the way of the world, we separate ourselves from God. If we choose to accept the word and do things according to the word, we manifest more and more sonship. It's ludicrous to think that God would plant us here and pluck us up before we bear fruit. Nobody who wants a harvest picks the plant before it bears the fruit. And nobody who wants a harvest pulls the seed out of the ground before it bears the plant. God doesn't do that because he wants a harvest. That's just common sense. The reason we study the scriptures is so that we will have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. Jesus said, John 5:30, "I can of myself do nothing." If he said that, can't we? We better. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." The Lord only did those things that he heard and saw of the Father. We want spiritual eyes and spiritual ears so that we'll no longer be babes, but we'll be able to experience the word of righteousness. Hebrews 5:13 says, "For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Notice, the scriptures are called the word of righteousness because justification is through faith in the word. So the babe is without experience of the word of righteousness. That's why we have to grow up. Justification means accounted righteous. So when you speak faith and you walk by faith, God will count you as righteous, just as he did Abraham in Genesis 15:6. "And he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him for righteousness." So he counted Abraham as righteous, and it didn't have anything to do with salvation. Notice, it had to do with the fact that Abraham believed what God said to him. So that covers everything, not just what we normally think of as salvation. God said Abraham was righteous. He called Abraham his friend because he believed what he said to him. And it was all about having a son. It didn't have anything to do with salvation. James 2 and 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. God reckons righteousness the same way today. There are a lot of God's people who have no eyes or ears because they are not hearing what God says. John 8 and 47, he that is of God hears the words of God. For this cause you hear them not, because you are not of God. Well, you might hear a preacher who is interested in filling his church up with tithers. The righteous are those who hear what he says. Jesus was talking to religious people, those Jews who had believed him, John 8 and 31. And he told them that if we are ultimately the elect of God, we will find out. Do you know why? It's because we are going to hear God's word. People who won't listen to you when you try to gracefully give them the word of God, either aren't being drawn by God at that time, or they're not children of God. He that's of God hears the words of God. Jesus gave us this example. He didn't do anything but what he heard and saw, and that's what babes do too. The problem is that sometimes babes are using the wrong eyes and ears, and so they are without experience of the word of righteousness. Speaking faith, which is calling those things that are not as though they were, because it already happened at the cross, Romans 4 and 17, is a word of righteousness. God has done everything from the beginning this way. He didn't create the world in any other way but this way. It says in Isaiah 46 and 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. We have to do the same thing. What do you want at the end? You must declare it from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That's how he did his pleasure. He declared the end from the beginning. Now you're declaring that you're saved. Do you understand that you're saved by faith? You need to go back and read the word. And faith is the substance of the things hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen. Uh-oh. So God speaks the end from the beginning, and it comes to pass. And we're in training to be sons who do the same thing. Jesus was training us to be sons of God. Now he's teaching us as sons and daughters to do the same thing. But you won't be able to do that if you're paying attention to your natural eyes and your natural ears. You'll always be inexperienced in the word of righteousness. You will always be a babe unless you begin to say the things the Bible says you should say and you should believe. You will always be a babe unless you begin to see the way the Bible commands you to see. That's eyes to see. And we need to be reminded of how the scriptures tell us to see, because it's so easy to slip back to seeing in the natural. Do you know what happens when you walk in the natural? You become worried, anxious, you become troubled because you're not seeing come to pass what's in the scriptures. You start thinking it will never come to pass. Well, it will never come to pass unless you have spiritual eyes to see that it is done. You have to see the way God tells you to see. And he tells us in 2 Peter 1 and 2, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So what's most important? Get in the Word for yourself. Don't trust a seminarian or a cemeterian. So the more you know about God, the more grace and peace you're going to have. But then he goes on. Verse 3. Seeing. So you're not going to have grace and peace without being able to see this. 2 Peter 1 and 3. Seeing that his divine power hath granted. Notice this is past tense. It's already done. So we're speaking the end from the beginning, right? Seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's God's life, by the way. And godliness. It's already been given. Through the knowledge, you have to know that it's already been given. Through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. If you can see that his divine power has already granted us everything that pertains to life and godliness, you can have it. If you can't see that, then you can't have it. Grace comes from being able to see this way. That's faith. Jesus was always bold to speak things before they came to pass. And you've probably never seen a miracle that you didn't speak first before it came to pass. The biggest miracles that I've ever seen were bold statements of faith right out in front of everybody. Well, look at this one, Joshua 10 and 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, everybody, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? And the sun stayed in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Wow. This is wow. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, of a man. Listen, the one in you is not a man. The one in you is God. And he speaks through this man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua stopped the whole solar system, for God's sakes. He spoke it right out in front of everybody. That sounds like somebody that wants to look like a fool. That's what the devil will tell you. But the Bible says that no one who puts their trust in him will ever be put to shame. Romans 10 and 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. If you're going to see miracles, you may have to step out there and look like a fool. But I'm not talking about saying things that you don't see. I'm talking about things that you do see. That seeing could be something that you see in the Word of God, or it could be something that you've received in a dream or a vision from the Lord. Or it could be a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom from the Lord or a prophecy. Seeing can come many ways, and one foundational seeing is that God has already given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And you look in the mirror and you see Jesus. Can he do it? Yes, he can. He's telling you, this is what you must see. If you're going to have it, you can't be what Peter describes as nearsighted. First, he lists all of the Christ-like virtues. 2 Peter 1 and 5. Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence in your faith. supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you not to be idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're walking in the light, you're going to have the light in front of you too. So notice these are all in faith, the way I just spoke it to you, which is the right way. It's not adding to your and adding to your and adding to your. You're not adding nothing. You're standing in faith, and all of these come out of faith. Notice the way I've shared it with you, which is biblical. They twisted it because they didn't know anything about faith. You're not adding anything to your faith. You're having faith, and God is doing it through you. So, for if these things are yours and abound, they make you not idle or unfruitful unto the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells you in verse 9, for he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near. Do you lack these things? Are you looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus? Then you don't lack these things. He's given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness. He that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Oh, don't forget now, you don't have those sins anymore. You were made free from sin, quote unquote. So, a nearsighted person is someone who sees with their natural eyes, not their spiritual eyes. And you can't have these gifts, these virtues of Jesus Christ, if you're nearsighted. James 1 and 23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. Someone who sees their natural face in the mirror becomes a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. This is how we're told to see in 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. But we all with an unveiled face. Some people have a veil. But we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Wow. We have to see Jesus in the mirror by faith. We have to see him with spiritual eyes, and call the things that are not as though they were, because they happened at the cross. Because the way that God does his work is through our faith. 1 Corinthians 1:26, for behold your calling, brethren, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. He's talking about people. Notice, he's talking about people. Okay. Well, notice that God is speaking of people here, not things, which is not numeric and was added into this text. Watch. But God chose the foolish. Things was not there. He's talking about people. He's still talking about people. For God chose the foolish of the world, that he might put to shame them that are wise. And he chose the weak. Things was not there. The weak of the world, that he might put to shame them that are strong. And the base of the world, and things was not there, that are despised, did God choose. Yea, and things was not there, that are not, that he might bring to naught the things is not there that are. So they needed to translate this with the knowledge that these were not there. They're in italics. They are not there. The numeric Bible has that in there in italics every time. so that no flesh should glory before God. In other words, God uses weak things to show his power. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power would be from God and not from ourselves. Don't worry about being weak. If you're weak, you're strong. That means weak to do it your way. God chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. What are the things that are? It's the curse. What are the things that are not? It's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. He gave us sonship at the cross, but it is not yet manifested, right? 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we manifestly children of God, and it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. For we know that if he shall be manifested, and that's talking about in us, we shall be like him. You see there? It is talking about in us. For we shall see him even as he is. So if you don't see him as he is, you can't be like him. We study the scriptures so that we get a vision of Christ, and we see him as he is. He had a vision of his Father. That's why he did what he did. We study the scriptures to get a vision of Christ so that we can do what he did. And anybody that says they abide in him, let them walk as he walked. They don't think that's a possibility. They're not reading the scriptures. They went to Bible school. So did the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they didn't know him when they saw him. So we can do what he did, live what he lived, and be what he was. And of course, most of the church says, no, it's not possible. But those people say that because they are only counting upon their own strength, and they don't count upon the promise of the Word of God, which is backed up by God's strength. If God says, Matthew 5:48, you therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, you can have faith in him and he will do it for you. We're not talking about us becoming perfect. We're talking about God making us perfect or mature, you know. Now, I agree that perfect is different for every one of us. The Greek word here for perfect is teleos, which is the same word for mature. God is maturing each one of us to do a different job in his kingdom. So we might look a little different, but that doesn't make any difference. We're coming into, as a body, the image of Jesus Christ. So we are not going to look alike necessarily. We have different jobs, as the Bible in 1 Corinthians 12 says, and different gifts, right? So the Bible clearly states that we're supposed to be growing into the fullness of Christ. In Ephesians 4:13, it says, until we all attain unto the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, there you go, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now that's what we're supposed to reach. That's God's promise to us. Now the bad report preachers are like the spies who went into the promised land and said, no, we can't take them. They're big. They're bad. We can't overcome sin. We just have to be sinners saved by grace. But when you're a sinner saved by grace, you're saved. They don't understand. You're saved from sinning, not saved to sin. How backward can you get? Numbers 13:31. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which had spied out unto the children of Israel, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. They could just see them giants gobbling them up. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who came of the Nephilim. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So they and everyone who believed them died of the plague in the wilderness. God told them, go and take that land. You know what land he's talking about? He's talking about this natural life. People don't believe they can overcome sin. Even by the promises of the Word of God, they don't believe it. They have received the bad report from the bad report preachers. Every one of them that believed that bad report that they couldn't take down that giant. Your flesh is like a giant to you. You think you can't handle it. Well, I can tell you this, you can't handle it, but God can. All you got to do is believe Him. So they all died of the plague in the wilderness. They didn't go into the promised land because they brought the bad report. Numbers 14 and 28, say unto them, as I live, says the Lord, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your dead body shall fall in this wilderness. That's not a rapture. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, that have murmured against me, surely you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear that I would make you to dwell therein. He swear. But you know what? When God promises something like that, it's not effective until you believe it. He didn't break the covenant. They did. They didn't believe his word. Because he went on to say, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. They believed, and they spoke it. They said in Numbers 14 and 9, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from over them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. They told the people, those giants are bread for us. If they're bread for you, that means you're supposed to eat them, and they'll cause you to grow up, right? But you're to conquer them. Actually, your spiritual man is taking over the land of your carnal man. Taking it over, taking it over. They are bread for us. So that's what it's all about. In type, those giants are the natural man who dwells in the land of promise. The spiritual man has to go in there to kill that giant and take his house, which is this body of flesh. Now let me say, I suggest that you study this, meditate on this, search it out in the Word of God. Just hearing it one time is not going to get down in you. It's not going to bear roots, okay? So do that, and you will be blessed. Well, Father, we just ask in Jesus' name, you said all things whatsoever we pray and ask for, believe we received it, and we shall have it. So, Father, we believe we receive sonship. We believe we have received. You said all things whatsoever you pray and ask for. We want sonship. We want to come to the image of Jesus Christ. So you told us, you taught us everything you pray for, believe you've received it. So we believe that we are sons of God. We believe it by faith until we see it in manifestation. We thank you that Jesus took away our sins and nailed them to that cross. And we thank you that he gave us his life He made reconciliation, which is an exchange. He exchanged his life for our life. He took our life, he nailed it on the cross, and he gave us his life. Now he says, look in the mirror and see Jesus. So meditate on this teaching and study it for yourself and see if I'm telling the truth. That's what you should be doing anyway. So, Father, we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that those out there who are to be sons of God, not just called, but chosen to be sons of God, that they will search this out and desire to speak in agreement with your word so that these miracles come to pass. And forget all the old religious life, which, as we see, these people all died in the wilderness because they bought the bad report. You can't take that old man. You can't conquer that old man. David didn't believe that. He took the old man down. And the enemy started running from him then. Took the old man down. The Israelites were afraid to go out there and face that old man. But not the little David. He had practice with the lion and the bear. So he went out there and took him down. So you be one of those, right? Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you. We thank you that your power in us is enough. Us and you is a majority in every situation, Lord. Every situation. Let us not leave you out, because then we're in the minority. We're not going to win. Your word must be spoken and believed before it's seen. We have to believe it and confess it. We have to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord over this whole mess of this natural creation here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for finishing the good work you started in us, as you promised. And it's right for us to be thus minded, your Bible says. So that's the way we are. We believe you're going to finish this work you started in us. And we see the end from the beginning, and the end is Jesus Christ. He is salvation. And his name even means salvation. He is salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. Thank you, our Father, for bringing it to pass in us. Thank you for putting your gift of faith in us. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, saints. We'll do this again sometime. Bye.